of stories of people, because, like, I know, obviously, like, John Mulaney did the famous one about, like, putting that song in the jukebox for, like, too long or whatever. You know that story? That bit he does?
I don't know if I remember.
It was What's Do Pussycat in his story. But it was, like, the idea of, like, he went to a jukebox and somehow just, like, ordered it to play What's Do Pussycat, like, 20 times or something. And, like, incredible. Watched the sort of scene dissolve.
You have talked about this.
Yeah, well, I was, like, listening, I was, like, reading about other things people have done with this, whatever, and, like, one person had done this to The Boys Are Back in Town, and just had it play The Boys Are Back in, like, a bar somewhere, and, like, somebody found out, like, who did it, and, like, confronted him, and was like, why did you do this, and he was like, the boys are back.
Why Do We Watch This? The podcast where three chums watch a bad movie, talk about what they liked, what they didn't like, and how they would fix it, all while enjoying a themed cocktail. Myself, I am Brendan Destroyer Drischler. It's just something I'm trying.
I'm Chris Ravel.
I'm Leah Delahanty.
Thanks, guys.
And we're not destroyers, we're lovers.
Yes.
You speak for yourself.
Okay.
Destroyer lover and not applicable.
And other destroyers. Yes.
Abstain.
Courteously.
Courteously.
But this, of course, is a mini episode, so we won't be doing any of that. Instead, we'll be talking about some shit. But we'll also be talking about the movie that we will be doing 2 weeks from now, our next full length episode, following up that lovely picture domino with perhaps another misbegotten movie. That's right, it is going to be 2002's The Truth About Charlie, directed by Jonathan Demme, starring Tandy Newton, Mark Wahlberg, Tim Robbins is apparently in it, which I did not remember.
What? I don't remember that at all.
There's a fair amount of, like, French actors who I don't really know.
Are there any people from the usual Demme, like, stable?
Ted Levine.
Great.
Of course.
Great.
I'm sure there's some other people in here, too. But, I mean, as we all know, The Truth About Charlie is, of course, a remake of the 60s Stanley Donen movie Charade, starring Audrey Hepburn and Cary Grant.
And it's fucking delightful.
Which is, yeah, a very, very charming, very fun movie that I like a lot. I know I've seen The Truth About Charlie before, but I don't remember it at all.
Which is not a good omen!
Yes, so we'll see. It'll be interesting to see how The Truth About Charlie plays out.
I think even if this movie is bad, which I remember it being bad, mm-hmm. I think it's telling all three of us have seen it in the past, but none of us can seem to remember it very clearly.
Yeah, I mean, I will say, like, in the movie's possible defense, it's just possible I wasn't feeling it or wasn't paying attention at the time, so, like, maybe it is fun. And it's, at least, on the bright side, it's kind of like, well, this is Jonathan Demme, who is usually, like, a good director, so like, it probably can't be a complete mess.
So that's one angle of, like, I think everyone would agree Jonathan Demme is, like, a good director. And obviously good directors still make bad movies sometimes, but it's just, it's interesting to see the ways in which someone who we know to be good do poorly. But then I'm also interested in it from the angle of, like, how does this do as a remake?
Right. I mean, I'm bringing them all true. I'm also interested in the idea, like, maybe I will like this movie.
It's always fun when we get to bring up that old chestnut, talk about remakes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It is. It is. And
roast it over an open fire.
Yes. Yes. And we will be roasting over an open fire, you're right. And we'll also be talking about remakes, I imagine, when we do the full episode 2 weeks from now. But of course, when we also do that full episode, we'll be having a cocktail to go along with it. And the cocktail we will be drinking is called Decency, Dignity, and Gumption. It is 2 ounces of gin, half an ounce of chartreuse, 1 ounce of lemon juice, half an ounce of simple, some fresh basil leaves, and some orange bitters. The way it works is you take a cocktail shaker, gently muddle 3 basil leaves with the simple syrup, add the gin, the chartreuse, the lemon juice, and a dash of orange bitters to the shaker. Add some ice and shake it till it's chilled. You strain it into a coupe glass and garnish with a lemon twist and a little basil leaf floating atop it.
Sounds classy.
It does sound classy.
Is this the one that had an AI generated
image of, like, some weird
of, like, a different drink?
Right, like some, like, purple
fantasy drink?
Right, with a glob floating in it too?
Should we, like,
add a glob?
Yeah, well, no, so, I was gonna say, should I, like, apply some weird Photoshop filter? Yeah,
make it purple.
Like, yeah. It's just like put an ambiguous shape at the bottom.
Yeah, just
this is the drink.
Yeah, don't ask questions.
That
about
was funny
the
too,
such a crazy thing.
It, when you read the original recipe, which we made some slight modifications to, it all describes clear liquors and, like, clear, colorless ingredients.
I noticed it was called Bar GPT.
Right, I assumed the recipe was AI generated.
Yeah.
I don't think the recipe was, because I looked it up elsewhere, and like the Velvet Charade, like, or whatever it was called.
Yeah, I think that was it.
Same stuff, yeah. Same everything. I think just the image. They didn't bother.
I think I assumed, like you did, that it was literally just like an AI to generate cocktails.
Trying to generate cocktails, which I don't know why is so funny.
No, it is. Because it feels like it's one of those things where it's like it will not turn out right at all.
Does this please you, human?
Right. It'll have like three good ingredients that it will be like, and a shoe.
Does this appeal to your sense of taste?
I would love to see, does this appeal to you, human.com.
that is my new AI bartending app.
That does sort of remind me of, do you remember before the AI craze when instead we were saying neural network?
Yeah.
And they would talk about the really crazy recipes that a neural network
could
make.
Right, yes.
And it would just be the most random,
right.
Like, raw chicken with beef.
Yeah.
I kind of feel like it would be like that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like a cocktail GPT.
Right, yes. All right. But anyways, so that'll be 2 weeks from now. And for this mini episode, we're going off of a brief interlude that we had when talking about Just Like Heaven a couple weeks ago. We were talking about Just Like Heaven, which of course is a rom-com.
And Just Like Heaven.
And we were talking about Just Like Heaven.
Mm-hmm.
And Chris had mentioned that he didn't think it was very funny, which prompted a discussion where we said about how, like, well, to be fair, a lot of rom-coms aren't that funny.
Mm-hmm.
They're more romedy than comedy. And so that sort of became a thing where it's like, well, first of all, like, are there movies that one would consider to be authentically rom-coms that are also funny? Are they all just sort of more pleasant and charming than out-and-out comic movies?
And, yeah. And my third question that I'd like to throw in there is are we owed?
Right.
Are we owed comedy?
Well, how much comedy are you owed?
Yeah, I mean, like, is it their job? Like,
right,
what is their job? Like,
well,
how much do they owe to each?
You know, if how much do they owe to each other?
Yeah.
I also just, like, I feel like we can figure out with this list, is there, like, an average blend that happens, you know? Mm. Like, is it like a 60-40? Is it a 70-30? Mm. That kind of deal.
That's a lot of math for me.
I love math.
I wasn't planning on getting that deep. I was planning on just saying, like, is it comedy, romance, or both?
Yeah. Mm.
But we could try to, if you have a percentage, you like an arbitrary percentage you'd like to throw out there, I'll put it in the third column.
Oh my God, thank you.
All right. So anyways, rom-coms. So, I guess kind of jumping into this conversation, I mean, one, do you generally think rom-coms are funny?
No.
No, but I don't.
But you would argue, Lee, that they are under no obligation to actually be that funny.
I would argue that, no, they're not. Their job, if I'm seeing a rom-com, I'm expecting a love story with a happy ending and no deaths, please.
Right. So you would argue that the genre rom-com is less of a movie where you expect it to be a comedy and more just like a romance where it is gentle and not a drama.
I would say more. I would say maybe a little more than that, but like,
okay.
I wouldn't expect it to be like, you know, I don't know why I can't think of any good comedy movie that isn't like The Hangover, which is like,
right.
Such a I feel like a weirdo
a
saying
bro,
that.
Right,
comedy.
Yeah, no, such like
comedy.
A such like a 15 years ago.
But it was a good comedy. It was a
right.
comedy,
yeah.
And it was funny to me at the time.
Yeah.
So I'm gonna say that. But you know what I mean? Like I go to The Hangover to
expecting
laugh.
That.
I
right?
think
you
I,
don't go to a rom com expecting the same type of
belly
laughs and
yeah.
yeah the numerous
or,
amount of laughs.
Honestly, like I think sometimes, like you were mentioning earlier, sometimes it's just sort of polite chuckle theater because it's like I can or more amusing. I feel like
charming.
Yeah,
right.
Charming is the word I keep coming back to.
I think though, I would say there's almost a specific type of comedy that you tend to find in rom coms because it's not only that the comedy takes a back seat. It's,
uh-huh.
I am used to, I would expect a type of comedy in a rom-com to be broad, to be speaking to very broadly defined issues like,
I wouldn't,
like men
see,
and women.
I wouldn't expect that.
Because
no? I think a lot of rom-coms, the best ones, don't do that.
I agree. But I'm saying it's still an expectation I have when I hear rom-com.
I mean, so you're saying like the
but
idea
I don't
of like
think
a middling rom-com is going to
yeah.
give you something like
that. I don't think expectations should necessarily, I think we're talking about what, I don't know. I think that's fine. Yeah, that's what maybe the stereotype of it is. But
yeah.
I don't think that we should aspire to do better.
No. I agree with that. But I'm saying, like, typically, if I'm seeing a rom-com, I'm not expecting it to be
yeah,
that
Yeah, but
funny.
If we're talking about the platonic rom-com, right? Not, like,
the
rom-coms
ideal,
generally
right.
are.
Right.
Okay.
One should expect it to be funny.
Yes.
But
yeah. I would say that, like, that you that a word replacement I'm suggesting here is, like, a light romance, because it's a romance that focuses on the better, the happier aspects of it, the meet cute, the falling in love.
Yes.
It doesn't focus on he doesn't love me back.
Right, heartbreak.
Or,
the,
yeah.
The conflict, when there is one, is usually low stakes.
It's low stakes, and it's resolvable.
Yes.
It's worth, it's
usually quickly.
Right, yeah. And no one ends, or at least the leads don't end up unhappy at the end of the movie.
Because there are definitely, like, romance movies that are...
dramas.
They're dramas, and they're not, like, tragedies.
Right.
They could still have happy endings, but it's, like... a journey. It's an ordeal.
Right.
And the conflict's going to feel more real. It might be touching something with a little
deeper.
More edge or deeper.
Right. I mean, like, well, yeah, I was trying to think of, like, a good example one, but all I can think of ones that kind of end unhappily, a la, like, Call Me By Your Name.
That still works. That's
I think it works.
Yeah,
it's
but,
not,
but, yeah,
I think
but
it's
I was,
drama.
I'm trying to think of, like, a romance drama that still ends happily, you know, like, that ends with the two of them together is the thing. Because I feel like most of the romance dramas I'm thinking of are things like, we don't end up together. I mean, maybe Affair to Remember or something like that,
right?
Where it's like, it's ostensibly, it's not ostensibly, like, it's definitely a drama, but it does end with the two of them together at the end.
There's a lot of, like, older ones I can think of, like Random Harvest.
I don't know it.
I know. Random Harvest is the double amnesia one that I've referenced a couple times.
Oh, yeah.
He has amnesia and he forgets his family.
After you talked about it.
He gets married. And then he goes away for a weekend and hits his head and forgets his wife but remembers
his
old family.
Of course,
it's a wacky as fuck. It should be a comedy, but it is serious drama. It's treated as real drama. And then she, I don't know, it's so wacky. But it's definitely played for melodrama.
Yeah.
And it ends happily, but it's not funny in any way, shape, or form. It definitely is a romance, and it ends happily.
I'm struggling to think of a more recent
they
example,
They don't
though.
End up together, but Marriage Story?
I mean, again,
they do
the
end
same...
up happy, they're just not
right,
together.
Right, but I mean, this is the same thing. That's, yeah, and you could argue, I guess, that's still
that
romantic
is a romantic
ending in some sense. But I mean, everything that I can think of as an example that's more of a romantic drama from, like, the past 30 years or so, and I'm sure I'm just missing something obvious, but everything that's coming to my mind immediately is something that does not end well. And maybe it's because a lot of the romantic dramas are gay-themed, and so ergo there are unhappy endings.
And well, because it's not... You can't take it seriously unless there's terrible tragedy.
Well, no, but I mean, it's the same, like, every... Like Portrait of a Lady on Fire or whatever, right? Like...
What about, like, A Star is Born? Does that end happily? I don't know.
No.
They don't end up together.
I don't know.
In any of them, I don't think they end up together.
Are you just, like, Googling?
I just,
like...
Googled, yeah, because I don't really know.
No, I mean, like, I'm
Once
curious what it's
is.
Suggesting, actually.
Once
anything.
Is poignant. It's bittersweet.
I wouldn't call it a comedy.
They don't, well, no,
not
I'm not...
Comedy.
We're not
we're
asking
saying
comedies. We're just saying
that.
Random.
That's what I'm saying.
Why I was saying I'm looking for a romantic drama from, like, the past 30 years that still ends with the two of them together. And I'm not sure that such
know.
A thing exists.
Or at least not one that we can.
I think that they do. I think it's safe to say that they do exist.
Right. I'm
no,
just for whatever
just
reason, I'm completely
them.
Blanking on. Yeah.
We don't watch them.
Blanking
we can't.
On what
and
they
Jordan,
are.
Maybe it's just easier to make a drama, a romantic drama, where they break up. Because
yeah.
Then
no,
Before We Go
true.
Is
that's
on here.
True.
I haven't seen Before We Go, so I don't watch romantic dramas. So I know all
yeah,
these movies,
I mean,
but I couldn't tell
arguably
you
that's
together.
My problem too. I don't really watch
yeah.
them that often.
So we don't know. We can't speak with any expertise.
Yeah.
It's safe to say, the only point the reason I pointed out is because there's. To point out a difference.
Right.
Light versus heavy romance.
Right. I mean, like and again, just if you were filing a rom-com into a comedy, they would... I feel like most of them would be filed under the category of light comedy anyway, right? Like,
yes.
Light comedy tends to be more sort of, like, frivolous and, like, chuckling and, like,
mm-hmm.
you know, almost sort of like a comedy of manners
yeah.
sort of situation,
yeah.
perhaps.
And I would say, like, maybe one or two on this list to go a little bit deeper than surface level with some of the comedy.
Mm-hmm.
But, like Sleeping With Other People, like, kind of touches on some more heavier, like, a little bit.
It does, yeah.
But, like, it's not that... Not dealt with.
I mean, it's not like a psychological...
New.
Yeah, in a psychological
I mean,
analysis.
Shall
but,
we
know.
Dive into the list?
Yeah, do you want to just dive in?
Yeah, we can just dive in.
Yeah. This is in no particular order.
Right.
Yeah, let's go.
So we're just going to go through and rattle off what we think it's funnier, more romantic, or balanced.
Yeah.
And this is in random order, starting with The Philadelphia Story. Now, I would argue that
Ooh.
The Philadelphia Story is not that romantic.
Nope.
But I don't know that it's ha-ha funny all the time.
I don't know. I would think
it's
the
witty.
Philadelphia Story might be kind of balanced in a respect.
I think it is balanced. That's
I think,
what I'm saying.
I would also say that the romance is not like... It's not like, you know, like a deep, passionate, all-consuming,
no.
like tearing your clothes sort of like,
no.
you know, like epic
but it's,
romance.
But it is interesting.
But,
there is stuff going on
But
there.
Right. And I mean, there is like... There is, you know, it's between Katharine Hepburn
and
Cary Grant and also between Jimmy Stewart. So it's kind of, there is also like an element of like, oh, like now Jimmy Stewart's into her, but Jimmy Stewart's co-worker is into him, blah, blah, blah.
I was going to say, like, have we ever done this as a movie? Obviously we wouldn't have because it's a great movie.
Right.
But like, my immediate follow-up was going to be like, did they end as a throuple? Because
should they
just end as a polycule?
I think so.
Of course. Well, hey, if we're looking for a shitty version of Philadelphia Story, there is a musical adaptation called High Society.
And it's awful.
And it sucks.
It really does.
Yeah. It's a boring-ass movie.
Isn't, what's her face in it?
Grace Kelly. Grace Kelly and Bing Crosby is the romantic, like, one of cinema's purest joys is watching women try to pretend they have chemistry with Bing Crosby, because no one ever does.
No, he can't act.
Yeah. Anyways.
I would say it's balanced.
Again, it's a gentle romance and a gentle comedy.
The romance there is kind of more like, it's wiser and like less cutesy, because these are like divorces.
Right. You have like the comedy of remarriage aspect to it in that sense.
They like, I think it's.
And they're all pretty bitter.
It's a really cool example because A, that they're all bitter. They're kind of jaded. They all have baggage. I think it's so interesting to watch these adults have a romantic drama.
Yeah. You could do good things during the Hays Code, is all I'm saying.
Yeah, you could.
Hays Girl Friday, it's funny. It's funny.
It is funny.
I think it's not romantic at all. Do you think part of that is simply
because it's based on a play with two men?
No, because I do think that a little bit because they didn't add much, but I would also argue that, like, it's kind of a toxic relationship.
It's kind of a toxic relationship.
I don't think they're good for each other.
No, I mean, I think they're good together, but they're not a healthy couple. No, yeah, does that make sense?
Maybe they deserve each other, but I don't think that they are good for each other.
Like, I don't think you should be dragging other people into this. Yeah. Like, so, like, you know, sorry, Roz, you were probably good to let that other guy go and get back with Cary Grant.
But I would say, I would call this more comedy.
I would call it more comedy as well.
I don't think that we really... there's like chemistry between the leads, but it's not
certainly
like,
yeah,
the romance doesn't sound aspirational, perhaps, or
no, I mean, it's mostly just like they're two if it's a romance, it's the two of them with their jobs.
Yeah,
do you know what I mean?
Yeah,
it's like the both of them are just so madly in love with journalism. And it's like you're here too, sort of like romance.
Like, now that's a throuple they could get into. Yeah, them two in journalism.
Them two in journalism. We'll get out of the oldies soon.
Yeah,
I promise. The Lady Eve.
I love this movie.
Lady Eve, I think, is more comedy.
I would agree. I agree. Most of it is her deceiving.
Right, because I was going to say, like, that's a big part of it, right?
There's not
the big
a lot
part
of genuine romance.
Well, right. I mean, the big part of it is that she's, like, duping him the entire time to get back with him, and then kind of falls in love with him anyway.
Love her.
Bring Up Baby is funny.
Less of a romance, more of a comedy.
Again, the romance feels...
I mean...
It feels like he is browbeaten into
submission,
Which is a sort of... screwball.
I mean, I was just gonna say, is this just like what every screwball comedy?
You know, because we will cover.
Well, I know there's one coming in later in the 70s that I think splits the difference a little bit better.
No, but I think It Happened One Night is romance.
Oh yeah,
I think there are some screwballs that do hold more space for romance. This is not one of them.
I mean, I would think the one. I mean, again, this is sort of like if you're really leaning into the screwball elements, I think you just don't have time to present like a plausible adult romance. So it's just sort of like it's a goofy romance because it's a screwball comedy,
right?
And therefore, no one's taking any of this seriously.
I think The Awful Truth could have been more balanced, and I think that does count as a screwball.
Awful Truth.
And I would not
the new one.
What are you talking about? What's the new one?
The one with Gerard
it's
Butler.
It's Cary Grant and Irene Dunn, so it's safe to say it's not the big one.
Thank you.
Yeah,
great.
I was gonna say something that Sabrina. I lost my thought.
What do you want?
Sabrina's more romance.
You would say it's more romance.
I would.
I guess, yeah.
Than comedy?
I'm going to argue it's balanced.
I don't remember finding it that funny.
So I've seen both versions, which I like both versions.
Right.
I think, if we're comparing...
I've only seen
the remake.
The thing the remake has going for it is that Harrison Ford is much more attractive than Humphrey Bogart, who is, you know, fine actor... Cannot imagine Audrey Hepburn being like, want to get with him.
I don't think it's like laugh out loud comedy, but... I thought it was funny, but I also was invested in the romance.
Yeah, I'm happy to say romance, I think, for the old one.
I haven't seen the new one in such a long time.
I would say the new ones... I think the old one's more balanced. I think the new one's more romantic. And that is only a little bit because Harrison Ford's a lot hotter.
Yeah.
But I do think that Harrison Ford plays it a lot softer than Humphrey Bogart.
That's certainly true. That much I remember.
Humphrey Bogart is pretty dry. Yeah. And I remember thinking, like, I don't really buy that he is falling in love with her. Whereas, like, I can see Harrison
because he's too droll about it. Yeah.
And also, he's, like, 50 and Audrey Hepburn is, like, 12.
Yeah.
So there's that.
Yeah. I'm you know what? I'm going to call it balance.
I guess you could call it balance.
It worked in Charade.
Yeah.
No, that's true. But in Charade, the whole advantage is that, like, her character is like gonna fuck this guy, and he's like, no, don't fuck me, I'm so old. And she's like, nope, I'm gonna fuck you. And he's like, okay.
Which one is this?
Charade. Because like Charade, like it's one of like the few times where I feel like an age imbalance is really kind of dealt with.
Yeah.
Behind the scenes, where like Cary Grant in real life was like, I am too old to be playing opposite Audrey Hepburn.
Yeah.
And so they're like, okay, we're rewriting it so that Audrey Hepburn is the one who's like
into you.
Yeah, I'm gonna fuck this guy so bad. Yeah.
Which is a great move.
No, it is. It is. Because otherwise, again, it's like a little weird to have like this 50-something.
But also, I love the idea of Audrey Hepburn's character just being like, "Get in my bed."
Right. As soon as she sees Cary Grant, you hear like the engine revving, and she's like,
"Ooga."
All right, and we're jumping around. Palm Springs, a couple years ago.
I'm going to argue that this is also balanced because I found this movie to be very funny, but I also loved the chemistry between Andy Samberg and Christy Milioti.
I would agree. I mean, I feel like this is the thing again. Like, this is not, like, an issue for us, I think, per se, in this list. But the idea is, like, if you say, like, let's watch a rom-com, you think a certain thing. And I feel like Palm Springs is not the sort of movie that necessarily comes to mind. And maybe this is just sort of a broader discussion about, like, how genre rom-coms get pigeonholed into this idea that they're sort of, like, delicate, frivolous, like, charming things more than, you know, what we're talking about here, more than
what
like...
What about that one that I've never seen that where it was like... We should maybe consider doing it, but it's like from the guy's point of view, and it has like a bunch of guys in it, but it's like a guy and his bros.
Oh, fuck. I know. It was Miles Teller.
Yeah.
It was...
Zac Efron?
Zac Efron. And then Michael B. Jordan.
Yeah.
And
shit, what's that called?
It's like three buddies.
It's a dumb title. It's like one of those like Nancy Myers titles that means nothing.
It's like a that awkward moment.
I knew it was like of something that was very trendy.
It's
at the
a
time.
Solid premise, but
I'm gonna watch it.
But I hear it's not very good.
Watch it. Let us know. Because if you think it's interesting, we'll definitely.
Because
do it.
Like that, I remember at the time being like, this is potentially groundbreaking.
Yeah.
It's like a guy's rom-com.
Right.
But like, it's probably. I'm sure
it sucks. Yeah.
Also, but like a movie about platonic male friendship.
Yeah.
That's increasingly rare these days.
Just boys being boys.
But unproblematically in this movie, but, you
just
know.
People living in the moment.
All right, Enchanted?
I think Enchanted is well-balanced.
I would agree. It's very funny.
It's very funny at moments, but I think that
plays
the romance
a lot with the tropes.
Done and believable.
Yes, and it is, you know, one of the main foci of the movie, but it doesn't feel like we had to sacrifice comedy to get that.
Right.
No, because there's a lot of comedy to be mined from Disney Princess in the Real World.
Yes.
Right.
They have a lot of fun with that.
Yes.
The American President?
I'm going to go with more romance.
Yeah, definitely more romance than comedy. There are, again, some jokes.
And I love The American President.
Yeah.
I love it too. Is it weird? Is it okay to like it even though it's... It's okay to like that movie, right? Aaron Sorkin we hate, but it's okay to like...
He's definitely, like, not untalented.
I mean, listen, I really like The Social Network. It's a great movie, Aaron Sorkin does still suck.
Yeah.
I mean, he also needs to, like, stop directing things because he's not good at it. But, like, he's not an untalented writer. It's usually just when he's, like, you know, he has to be pushed in an interesting direction so he's not just, you know, doing his same old shtick.
Because typically, if you leave him to his own devices, he'll turn whatever he's writing into a screed against his most recent ex.
Oh, yeah. What's up, Doc?
Definitely more comedy, but I think it's a, like, this is,
it
like,
is,
it's
joke,
well
joke,
balanced,
joke, joke,
but
joke.
I think it's definitely more on the comedy. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, I feel like if, again, we're going off, I had commented briefly earlier, it's just the idea with all screwball comedies that, like, you can't have a logical romance because they're so goofy. I think this one comes closer to having kind of a logical romance.
I was going
to
say, it definitely puts more romance in there than I expect from a screwball comedy,
right,
but it is still very much,
I think,
like, what you're just saying, joke a second.
Yeah. I think it shares a lot of DNA with Bringing Up Baby.
Unquestionably.
And I think it does a good job of like of, like, fixing, not like that Bring a Baby needs fixing per se, but like the biggest issue that I've always had with that is Bring a Baby isn't that romantic.
Right.
And it sort of augments that aspect of it a little bit.
This one definitely does a better job of creating a plausible romance.
Yeah. I think it does that by giving, what's her name?
More Barbara of a Streisand?
Yeah, more of a backstory and a character than just like a weird heiress.
Right. Yeah. And I feel like you also get to sort of see, Ryan O'Neal's character like kind of fall for her a little bit more than you do. Like, honestly, like you said, with Cary Grant, it literally just kind of seems like, well, I've exhausted all my options. My career's in shambles and my fiance has left me and our dinosaur skeleton has fallen on the ground. I guess we're in love.
And Ryan O'Neal also, I think, is he brings a little more presence to the straight man.
Yeah.
Which is easy to get lost in the shuffle. And this isn't to say I think Ryan O'Neal is some tremendous actor.
Yeah,
but I think he does a good job in the movie.
I don't know that Ryan O'Neal is a particularly good actor either, but I do think he does well.
Mm-hmm.
I guess I'll say his very specific and limited range of talents is well deployed in the movie.
It very effectively plays to his sort of like flatness, I think.
Yeah.
Which, you know, some movies have done very well.
Like Barry Lyndon, also.
Right, Barry Lyndon or Paper Moon, and most movies have not utilized him well.
Correct.
So. Yeah. There's that.
Gross Point Blank, which I think was I debated not putting it on this list, but I threw it on.
I'm gonna say it's more of a comedy. Then.
It definitely
I would
is
agree
more of,
more of a comedy. I mean, this is like the thing,
and it's a tremendous comedy.
Yeah.
Again, because like when I was thinking of movies to list, again, like I had said that my definition was any movie where if you remove the romance, it does not function as a movie anymore.
Mm-hmm.
And so like that is what my definition of rom-com was for this purposes, but that gets you things. You know, kind of like Gross Point Blank, where it's like,
although
this
I'd argue
is...
it's pretty important because it ends up being her dad.
Right, no, I'm not saying it's not, but what I'm saying is, like, my point is that, like, you wouldn't necessarily consider Gross Point Blank, per se, to be a rom-com in the strictest sense that most people think of it.
Yeah.
But, like, by the definition of the fact that it is a comedy and the romance is important to the central crux of the story, it's a rom-com.
Right.
I mean, like, you can argue that this is not, like, the kind of pleasant, sort of like Sleepless in Seattle, You've Got Mail style thing, but it is, by all definitions, a rom-com.
It almost edges into a new conversation where it's like, is genre the sum of its parts?
Right.
Or is it more of a summative vibe?
Right. I mean, I think the thing is, you could also have a conversation, which we probably don't really need to have, about the idea of like, sexism as far as those things go.
I mean, a lot of it I'm sure is marketing. Like,
totally.
Like, I think it's highly likely that Gross Point Blank was not marketed as a rom-com.
I'm sure it wasn't, yeah.
Because they wanted butts and seats.
Right. I'm sure it was marketed as a comedy, but like a comedy that happens to have like a love story in it.
Because you could have gotten guys to see this easily.
Which is also certainly like, it's not uncommon for comedies to have a romance in them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
By that same note,
Clueless, we love it.
Clueless. I love this movie. This is maybe one of my favorite movies ever.
I think Clueless is more of a comedy. I think that the thing with Josh feels a little bit of an afterthought to me.
I will say Emma is definitely balanced, but this is not.
No,
yes.
I think Clueless is more of a comedy.
Yeah, I think also because, again, it's been forever since I've seen Emma. I have not read the book Emma. I can't tell you how Emma structures this sort of thing, but it feels like
it is more balanced.
Right. Josh doesn't have a whole lot to do in Clueless.
Correct.
And you do
until
see
the third act.
Right, until the end pretty much. And you do see him periodically like, you know, like
interacting.
Alicia Silverstone like walks into a room and he like takes notice of her and like he says something like nice
you
to
should,
her later.
I cannot recommend enough the Emma journey.
Emma period.
The marathon.
Oh.
Go through the
oh, all of them.
Watch the BBC one that came out a few years ago.
Mm-hmm.
Watch the
Goop.
The Goop one.
And the Goop one is good.
Jerry Northam is very good.
I've heard that. I want to see. I still haven't seen Emma, period.
Amazing.
Yeah.
Oh,
I'd
my
like
God.
To see that.
We had such a good time seeing that, too.
Yeah.
It's such a tremendously well done adaptation.
I've never seen a
so
Regency dance feel so incredibly charged and sexual.
Yeah.
It's ridiculous. So good job on them.
They did a really good job of making it sexy without making it feel like it was trying too hard, which I feel like can happen a lot when it comes to these kinds of adaptations.
Anyway, I can't recommend it enough if you I don't know if it's even your type of thing normally, but Emma's in all of its iterations are great, and I like all of the iterations that are.
I mean, I had always planned to see the most recent one. I've just not gotten around to
it. If you like the most recent one, definitely at least watch the
I would see the Gwyneth one if I like the most recent one.
Yeah.
I think.
Yeah. All right, Born Yesterday.
What a delightful movie. I saw this movie because you suggested it.
It's a great
or
movie.
Or both of you did, or one of you did, but...
Yeah.
It's who was the... Holiday, right?
Yeah, Judy Holiday.
I was doing that yesterday. I was doing the vice versa. You can't say it without doing the way she says it.
Yeah.
I don't know. I'm tempted to say balanced here because
I'm kind of tempted to say balanced too.
I am as well.
I think that I think that there's enough chemistry between the two.
I think especially because there's such surprisingly poignant moments in Born Yesterday.
Yeah.
With her character, I think.
No, she has a great journey in that movie. Yeah. And like the way that it's not like romantic per se in a way that it's like there's not a lot of like romantic or sexual tension, but just like the amount of general just like care and regard that William Holden applies to her and like in respecting her the whole time in a way that she's never been respected is incredibly it's
gratifying to watch.
It's a gratifying experience. So anyway, it's a great movie. Go see it. It Happened One Night, Back to the Past. I would argue that this is a screwball that's very balanced.
I mean, I would say it's balanced too. I would say it feels it's less screwball to me. Like it's almost a proto screwball.
It's in the genre.
I don't know
if you
go.
If you look up any, I'm gonna look it up right now, and it's gonna say screwball comedy.
I would think It Happened One Night is more just like the progenitor of the rom com. Like every single trope that you associate with the rom com exists because of It Happened One Night.
I mean, this could also be a sort of how like dogs and cats have a similar ancestor in foxes. Screwball comedies and rom-coms have a similar ancestor, and It Happened One Night.
It is the fox of movies, that's true. I don't know that I would consider it to be screwball, though.
Well, anyway, the question is it balanced or is it romantic or is it comedy?
I think it's balanced.
Okay, we're going to put balanced.
Yeah.
When Harry Met Sally?
Balanced.
Balanced.
Yeah.
Especially because I like this lens that you were providing, Brendan. If you took the romance away, would you still have a movie? Or vice versa, I suppose. And you really wouldn't, because so much of the comedy is fed by the romance.
I might also argue the point that, like, I would have to think about it, but if you're looking for, like, the most traditional, like, basic idea of what a rom-com is, When Harry Met Sally might be the funniest, like, stereotypical rom-com in that sense, you know? Like,
at least in terms of what is funny about it is coming from the same place as the romance.
Right.
Like, I mean, comedy about the romance.
Yeah, I mean, like, I would also just, like, it's just a very sharply written movie in that sense. I mean, like, just it's just a very funny, well-done movie.
You can Google this at your leisure, but I think there are a lot of points in my favor for It Happened One Night being considered a screwball
okay.
comedy. Bells Are Ringing.
I've never seen this. I'm so sorry.
You've never seen Bells Are Ringing? We gotta get you to see Bells Are Ringing.
I thought we watched that for some reason.
Nobody's ever said hello to me on the street before.
I think we definitely talked about watching it.
That's the first thing I thought of.
Yeah, I don't know about that classic moment. Yeah.
It's funny.
It is very funny.
You put this on.
Put it on because I mean I was trying to think of a musical to include was my biggest thing.
I don't think Dean Martin's that romantic. I'm not gonna lie.
I don't know that he's that romantic either, but I do think that like she clearly has romantic feelings for him. You know, like by dint of the fact that like in a musical you can have someone have an 11 o'clock number. Or I guess The Party's Over is not really an 11 o'clock number, but where she basically just like has to sing a whole song about how like, you know, like it was nice pretending to be in love with him for a while, but like clearly it's not going to work because he doesn't know who I actually am.
Yeah.
And so I do think, you know, it's perhaps a little bit more imbalanced in the sense that so much more of the romance is coming from her and he's just sort of like
Dean Martin-ing
it up. Right. He's got like
he's kind of a dummy.
Right. I was going to say he's got like a drink in his hand the entire time. Just
he's
like
just confused
right,
what's happening.
Drunkenly stumbling through this movie.
Him and the character.
Right. Yeah. No. Yeah. Yeah, the actor Dean Martin could not put down his drink the entire time. You could see him in various wide shots. But like up until the end of the movie when he figures out like what's been going on, he's like, I do love you. It is a little bit like, you know, more focused on her feelings than his feelings, certainly.
Yeah.
But I do think it does like a pretty decent job of a musical where like the romance is kind of the thing, you know, but it's also a charming, funny movie.
So would you say balanced?
I would.
All right, I'll put balanced. I don't find it romantic.
You would say more funny?
I would say more comedy because I feel like the romance is just like, it feels like when I watch it, it's just there. Like it's when you're a kid and you're watching a romance and you're just like, I just have to get through this bit because the jokes are there. I have to get to the joke. Like it just feels like it's being presented to me and I just have to sort of sit through it. I'm like, whatever. I don't like buy into it, I guess, as much, but
it doesn't track
I sort of see where you're coming from with like the it being more from her point of view, and that's still counting. Bros. I have not seen Bros yet.
I have.
So here's the thing about Bros. This is what I'm going to say.
Boy, what is your face?
What a baby's got a little face. So this is what I'm going to say. I don't think Bros is a good rom-com. I think it's funny. This is my point. My point is that it belongs on there more because it is a better comedy than it is a rom-com.
1,000%.
So...
But I would also argue that it's really tied up in trying to explain queer stuff all the time, that it struggles at times to stay funny.
My point is that I think this is almost the antithesis of most of the issues that we have with rom-coms, where they're more focused on the romance part and not really that funny or charming. Bros does a better job at being funny than it does presenting a logical romance.
I agree.
And if you're vibing with the sort of comedy that I usually am, I enjoy it because I think that it's funny. It's kind of like just sort of a longer episode of Difficult People in some respects,
yes,
which I appreciate, but I don't think it's a very good rom. You know, like it's a better com than it is a rom. So this might be, is this our first, or no, it's not our first skewing more towards comedy.
No, there's plenty of comedy.
Yeah, but like
this one
feel more than most. It really doesn't do much with the romance. And I would even say, like, if you were to break it down into the screen time devoted to the romance, it doesn't, like you're saying, it doesn't make a lot of logical or sequential sense what we see from their relationship. The episodes of their relationship don't really add up.
Right. I mean, like, one almost thinks that it might be a better movie if the two of them had already, like, been together
yes.
for a while or something, you know, rather than, like, going through the beats of a rom-com or something.
I think that would help it quite a bit.
Yeah. So, I mean, that's kind of why I had thrown Bros on there. Not because I think it's a great rom-com, but because it is, like, it's interesting in that it is ostensibly a rom-com, but it is a rom-com where the comedy is unquestionably working better than the romance.
And I think that's that absolutely has a place in this discussion about the balance between those two.
Down with Love.
I think Down with Love is well balanced.
I do too.
No, I don't think it's balanced. I think it's really? Comedy.
You think it's comedy?
I don't
comedy?
Think it's romantic at all.
I guess they're
both horrible.
I guess
people.
Yeah. I guess the argument you could have is because it is channeling and sort of like affectionately ribbing so many of those Doris Day Rock Hudson ones where like the romance is so like surface level and fluffy that like
and rote.
Yeah. Again, the romance here is like sort of almost non-existent, but it's there because
they're both
it's
faking
a
it at different
right.
points in the movie, and at the end it's like it's they're sort of I remember correctly because it's been so long, but it's like. They're together because they've both deceived each other, and now it's like, well, I guess we might as well just be together. But it's like, I don't believe that they've moved on. They just seem like they're both really toxic people, and much like his girlfriend.
I was going to say, like, this is a his girlfriend
They just
scenario.
Sort of belong together.
Right.
Because they're toxic.
But also, they're not good for one another.
Right.
No.
Well, because we can't inflict them on other people. We must contain them.
It's like sealing a nuke underground.
Yeah. Please don't have children. Please don't reproduce. Just stay together.
I did not like this movie.
You didn't like Down with Love?
No. Because again, I think I watched it when I was young before I really understood what it was doing, and so I didn't walk into it expecting it to be like a satire, which I think it is a satire.
Oh, it is, yeah.
And I was like angry.
Because you went in with a different expectation.
Yeah, but now I look at it and I just see like I just sort of see this movie about two really toxic people.
Yeah,
and maybe if I could rewatch it with that lens, I might appreciate it. But as it stands, I'm just sort of like they're just too toxic.
You know what? You've shifted me. It is more of a comedy than.
Oh, well, I'm gonna put comedy. I don't think it's romantic at all, but I agree that maybe there's like. Again, elements of romance. But...
I mean, there's elements of romance, again, because it is a satire of, like, the Rock Hudson Doris Day bedroom comedies.
Right, it does.
So, like, it's there because
but
that's
But I can't,
there.
How
right.
can I, after so much deception, how can I believe anything is real?
That's a good question.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, no, I expect you and McGregor to, like, turn to the camera and say, after so much deception, what is real anymore?
Yeah.
I look forward to your scathing documentary, Down with Down with Love.
Mm-hmm. Down with Love. Nick and Nora's Infinite Playlist.
I know that I've seen this movie.
Ages. I don't remember anything.
I think
about
Nick Nora's
don't remember
is
it very well
balanced.
I would
agree.
Take your word for it.
I think it does a very good job of effectively juggling both actual comedic bits and creating a plausible romance.
I've not been able to see Plus One yet.
Oh,
you should. You really should see Plus One.
It's on my list. I just don't know where to see it.
Netflix. It's on Netflix.
Jack
now.
Quaid and Maya Erskine, who.
I know why you guys recommended it to me. I just haven't.
She was in the new Mr. and Mrs. Smith I watched recently, which was like,
I like it. I've only on like episode 3, but I liked it so far.
Oh, the finale is what wrecked it for me. I see.
But yeah, I think Plus One is it's almost kind of like a bridge between sort of what we expect rom-coms to be in like the 90s and so mm-hmm. to a more sort of modern take on what they could be.
Mm-hmm. And there's like that sort of like modern commenting on rom-com-ness yeah. a little bit.
So yeah, there's a little bit of that, I guess. Bit. It's not like meta.
No. Not in that way, but I don't know. I got the sense from it that there was some element of it trying to like respond.
I guess.
So where does it fall on the comedy spectrum, though?
I would consider it well balanced.
Yeah, I would agree with that.
Okay.
Like Thanos, perfectly balanced.
Perfectly balanced. Scott Pilgrim.
Interesting.
Because, I mean, this is, again...
This is you guys.
It is both comedy and the, right, and again, the romance is quite central.
Right, the romance is the central crux of the movie, and if you remove the romance, there is no movie.
There is no movie.
This.
No, so, I would argue... by the way, I just want to put it out there. You can say it's comedy. It can still be romantic, but I think that you can still say it's comedy if you just think it's funny enough. You know what I'm saying?
I'm not sure I do. Tell
so,
me what you're saying.
I don't want you to feel like you have to say balance just because there's a good romance.
Yeah.
No, we get that.
Yeah.
It's okay. Also because the comedy is there.
Right.
Okay. I'm just saying, if there's one that's... I'm looking at the next one. I'm looking at the next one.
Spoiler alert.
Anticipating issues. Because I would argue the next one's a comedy. But anyway.
Well, I think, at least in terms of our working definition, I would say then Scott Pilgrim versus the World, as weird as this is to say, is a balanced rom-com.
It is.
Because it is hilarious,
right.
But the romance is so integral to the story.
Right, and it's one of those things where, like, well, you can quibble about how well the romance is done, or if they're good for each other, or, like, shit like that, and, like, that's a whole other
But that's also written into it. You are supposed
right.
to
there
have
are, there are, they are both kind of shitty people. And, like, but like I said, like, this is a whole other conversation. The
right.
question for this is not, like, is this a good relationship?
But is it romantic? Like, again, I kind of judge romance on is it romantic or not? Like, not is it present?
Actually, that is a good question. Do we feel emotionally connected to the romance?
I would say I do.
I would say I do, too.
Yeah. Yeah,
that's why. Like, obviously, there is a lot of romance happening in Delaware.
It is. It
right.
is albeit a,
romantic.
It is right. albeit a childish romance, but it
yeah,
is there.
But I mean, I would argue that a lot of Scott Pilgrim is sort of like growing up
yes.
and like understanding, you know,
you
what like an actual relationship is.
You root for him to set aside the childish things,
right?
Like
you
chow
right to like stop being like a dumb baby and like learn to be responsible. To
yeah.
Adults. And so in that respect, like, yeah,
yeah.
I would say it is.
You think that's what balance?
Yeah,
that's where we're at.
Perfectly balanced.
As all things should be.
Sleeping with other people.
So, all right, so you're...
I'm already walking it back. Because I
were you saying?
My first
were you
instinct
thinking?
Was thinking that it... I
what were you
was,
fucking thinking?
My first thought was that I thought it was a really funny movie and
yeah.
I would want to put it in the comedy because I want to award it for being...
A funny movie?
A rom-com.
Yeah.
Because it
funny.
Legitimately
yeah.
is quite funny.
But I'm trying
yeah.
to remember how much Laugh Out Loud funny it was. But I think
I mean,
it was.
I agree with you, it is. But I would also agree that it's... I mean, so your argument is just because it effectively portrays... A romance between these two characters.
While still being funny.
Yeah.
But while still being very funny.
Yeah.
And I also think I find the romance to be emotionally engaging because the way that that Jason Sudeikis and Alison Brie are flawed is believable and recognizable to me. So it doesn't feel like it's one of what I would identify as like a 90s rom-com
right.
thing where it's very lofty and
right.
it kind of seems almost
and
fantastical.
You could also, I guess, argue similar to that is that like these characters are a little more like darker in
yes.
some respect. You know, like they have like more... actual
baggage.
Right, yes, baggage, more actual issues that they're working their
yeah.
ways through than, say, just, you know, I can't commit or some crap like that. You
and
know, it's a little bit more...
I think it's smart to cast... Like, you have two leads who are very good at doing comedy but are also very good at emoting.
Mm-hmm.
And then similarly, you put in the supporting cast people like Jason Mantzoukas and Andrea Savage.
Right,
and
right.
It almost leaves no choice but for it to be hilarious but also still emotionally engaging.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think, yeah. I think it's a balanced
okay.
balanced effort, honestly.
Yeah. We're coming out with more balance than I expect
yeah.
us to.
Well, there is a lot, yeah. There's a decent amount of comedy on here. There's not a lot of romance.
More romance,
or
yeah,
any?
Than not, yeah.
There's one. 10 Things I Hate About You.
I think it's a good balance.
I know we keep...
I mean, so here's the thing, too. The balance is there more between Heath Ledger and Julia Stiles than it is between, like, Joseph Gordon-Levitt and Larissa Olnick.
Yeah.
Who are, like, the secondary...
Oh, you like the couple?
Yeah, who are, like, the secondary couple. Yeah. It's, like, their relationship both is, like... It's a little one-sided because, like, most of the movie is just him being like, boy, I want to date her so bad. And then it's just like...
That's just the story of...
I mean, like, that is just what it is. But, like, the romance... Like, the bulk of the romance in 10 Things I Hate About You is on the shoulders of Julia Stiles and Heath Ledger. And I think it does an effective job of, you know, sort of showing how these two people both sort of, like, make changes and sacrifices for each other.
Yeah, I'm going to say it's balanced because, yeah, very funny, but you're really emotionally engaged in the main couple, at least.
Yeah, I think they do. I think it's an effective portrayal.
Wedding Singer.
It has been a very long time.
It has been a long time.
You put it on.
My logic in throwing this on was that I think it's the one, it's like... First of all, I don't know if I've said this before. Adam Sandler, that's a straight man's game. I got no time for him. But this is, like, the one Adam Sandler, ostensibly Adam Sandler comedy that I do like.
Mm-hmm.
Because partly I think it's funny, and I also do think that there are some good emotional beats with Drew Barrymore. You know, I think it's a compelling relationship between the two of them. And even if it is a little bit, you know, it is sort of one of those kind of frivolous, like, well, she's not really going to stick with her actual fiance, but,
well,
like...
Well, and there is... I mean, it's interesting we were talking about balance when we were approaching that movie, because I agree. I think this is the most... Like, there is still a lot of the Adam Sandler shit in there, because
right.
There's still a lot about 80s hair metal... There's still him doing weird voices.
Does he talk in a funny high-pitched voice?
Exactly.
I hope he does. Oh my god, that's
There's
so funny.
There's like a foul-mouthed old woman.
Right.
Like, all of these things are still there, but they are pulled together in a much more...
It's also, I think, like a sweeter movie than a lot of his other ones are.
I don't remember how funny it is my only problem.
I don't either.
I really don't.
It being pretty funny. It's,
I do,
again,
but
something
it's
I should probably
so
watch
long.
Again. Yeah, no, it is something I should watch again.
I remember liking it a lot.
I had it on there because
yeah.
It was just sort of an interesting... perhaps less conventional idea of what a strictly rom-com movie could be, and that's why I threw it on.
Yeah. I guess I'm gonna say balance.
Yeah.
Because
I don't remember. You've Got Mail.
You've Got Mail is, again, what I said, charming. It's charming,
yeah.
And there are jokes, and there are some very funny jokes, but it is, I think, more skewing for me toward the romance
side. I agree.
Side.
I'll put romance.
For me, the funny jokes are the woman who was dating Franco.
Yes,
and,
of course.
The, like, two scenes that Parker Posey is in where her whole game is to just be as annoying as fucking possible.
Yeah, which she's great at.
Yeah.
Especially when, doesn't she
and
just,
my
like...
my sweater. And sweater, she's like, ugh.
Do you want, do you have my gum?
Yes.
Yeah,
is
my gum?
I want my gum!
Like, literally pouting.
Yes, she's so good in that.
She was like, they were just like, Parker Posey, can you just act really a lot?
Can you just do the most acting.
Yeah.
Can you just, like, be as petulant as you possibly can be? So good.
Notting Hill.
Notting Hill is, like, a movie I've not seen in a long time.
Yeah.
I recall it more being amusing.
Charming, right. I'm inclined to say it's probably more of a romance, but again, as someone who's not seen in a long time, could be wrong.
No, I think it is, because I remember... I saw this movie as an adult, and then a friend was like, oh my god, there's this hilarious joke at the end involving redheads. And it's not really a joke. It's just, there's like a line earlier in the movie where he's like, oh, like the worst thing could happen if we had redheaded children. And then they do.
That's hilarious.
And I'm just like, so glad I waited for that.
Yeah, that's a movie that, again, fits in sort of more with, like, You've Got Mail in terms of, like, the prototypical idea of what a rom-com is.
Yes.
I think. So more charming than funny.
Yeah. And then finally, last one we got on our list... is Moonstruck.
Moonstruck.
It has been a while since I've seen Moonstruck, but I really love it.
I do too, but I would also consider it skewing heavier on the romance than on the comedy. Not to say that it's not funny, and not to say that Cher and Nicolas Cage aren't terrific. Vincent Gardenia, Olympia Dukakis,
it's fabulous.
Right, everyone's doing terrific work in this movie, but it's more... It's more towards, like... pleasant, I think, you know?
I agree. I think the times where it tips into comedy is when it's like Nicolas Cage, because his character is a weirdo.
Right, yes.
Whenever we get those moments with him, that's when it starts to tip towards comedy.
And like Cher, of course, gets some jokes too, you know?
Especially like her reactions to him. Yeah.
Right, yeah. But I would say more of a romance than a comedy.
All right, I've done the numbers.
Yeah, really crunch those numbers.
We had 26 movies we talked about.
Uh-huh.
14 of them were balanced by our books.
Nice.
Wow.
Over half?
Yeah. 8 were comedies.
Uh-huh.
And 4 romantic.
What ones were the romance ones? I'm just curious.
The American President.
Yes.
Yeah.
These are all the... This is interesting because it's the all of an era.
Yeah.
The American President, uh-huh. You've Got Mail, Notting Hill, and Moonstruck.
I mean, again, if we were throwing it on there, I'd also throw Sleepless in Seattle in towards the romance stuff.
Yeah, and meanwhile...
80s or 90s?
Moonstruck, I believe, was 80s.
A lot of our old ones are in comedy. But not all of them. We got Bros in comedy, and we got Down with Love and Gross by Blank. But
What's
Up, Doc, Bring on Baby Lady, Even His Girl Friday in comedy.
I'm just going to throw this out there as a not particularly deep reflection, but I wonder if part of the reason why we went more towards the comedy side with those older movies is because a lot of times the circumstances or the way the romance is portrayed is more difficult for us to grasp. Because
I thought you were going to say the Hays Code.
They can't
get that, but I mean more like...
I find
the values we feel about romance are not the ones that we find in those.
That's true,
movies.
But I mean, I would also say that in screwball comedies, which several of those are, the romance is an afterthought. Like,
right.
There is a romance in screwball comedies, but it's almost just sort of like a given that these two people will get together.
Wait, you
at
don't
the
find
end.
It romantic when What's His Nuts jokes about beating her once he marries her?
Yes. Oh my god! Yeah, that's right.
And what was that movie? The Mad Miss Manton.
Yeah. Or when Cary Grant punches Catherine Hepburn in the face in the beginning of Philadelphia's Story.
Yeah, we're supposed to feel, like, good about it.
To be fair, I laugh every time. Because it's such a goof. It's such, like, a hilarious, like, out-of-nowhere moment. But all of a sudden, she just, like, goes straight down. It's like, what the fuck?
But it is, like, in Nothing Sacred, there's mutual punching.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, you've talked
I mean,
about
isn't there... Before. I'm pretty sure it's in Philadelphia's Story, too. I'm pretty sure they both punch each other.
Yeah, because at one point, he has to punch her because she has to pretend to be sick or something.
Mm-hmm.
So he has to, like, punch her to, like, physically
her
knock
yeah.
her out. And then at the end of the movie, she just punches him back. So it's comeuppance.
This is such a sidebar, but one of my favorite things about Philadelphia's Story is I just love how... I think this is more in, like, the first half of the movie, but it's just various family members of hers telling Katharine Hepburn, like, God, you're a real, just, like, judgmental,
you're a real piece of work, sister.
And particularly, there's some line where her father is like, ah, yes, there's justice with her shining soul.
guys, this is a good episode.
Yeah. Loved it.
Good exercise.
All right, so now that we finish that up, back in 2 weeks with The Truth About Charlie. I'm sure we're all interested to hear what the truth
is. What
is
it?
What is the truth about Charlie?
Tell us!
I don't know! Bye!
Bye.